The Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus returned from the Jordan, filled with the Holy Spirit, and she led him into the desert for 40 days, where he was tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing during that time, at the end of which he was famished. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are God's own, command this stone to turn into bread." Jesus answered, "Scripture has it, we do not live on bread alone." Then the devil took Jesus up higher and showed him all the nations of the world in a single instant. The devil said, "I'll give you all the power and the glory of these nations. The power has been given to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. Prostrate yourself in homage before me, and it will be yours." In reply, Jesus said, "Scripture has it. You worship the Most High God. God alone will you adore." Then the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem, set him up on the parapet of the temple, and said, "If you are God's own, throw yourself down from here, for Scripture has it, God will tell the angels to take care of you. With their hands they'll protect you, that you may never stumble on a stone." Jesus said to the devil in reply, "It also says, do not put God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, Jesus was left alone. The devil awaited another opportunity. The Gospel of Christ. During the season of Lent, we are invited to follow Jesus on a journey into the wilderness. Lent is a time to leave behind the safe and the familiar and journey out into the wilderness of the unknown. The wilderness can be a frightening place. Unknowing is not a posture we like to adopt. The temptation for us as sentient beings, is to fill the wilderness void of unknowing with words, with ideas and stories that both comfort us and help us to deny our state of unknowing. But our journey, whether we like it or not, is the kind of journey where the destination itself is not known. And so the wilderness places that we encounter along the way can create in us the kind of fears that cause us to deny reality. Earlier this week, some of us gathered in this sanctuary for Ash Wednesday, the day that marks the beginning of Lent, the beginning of our journey into the wilderness. And one of the things we do on Ash Wednesday is to remind ourselves that we are dust and to dust we shall return. In other words, we are born and we shall die. This part of the journey will end for all of us in death. And there is so much about death that we do not know, and that not knowing can fascinate us, it can infuriate us, and it can frighten us. Sometimes this not knowing can frighten us so much that we deny the reality that in the end death comes to us all. And when death does make its presence known to us, we find ourselves tempted to deny our unknowing with ideas about what will happen to us when we die. Ideas that some of us insist must be believed. We've crafted those ideas about what will happen to us when we die into all sorts of doctrines and dogmas that we've imbued with the power to determine how we live before we die. You know, if we believe and we behave, then when we die, we will be rewarded. Or if we don't believe and we don't behave, when we die, we will be punished. The temptation is to believe that these ideas, these doctrines, dogmas, these beliefs and behaviors can save us from the unknowing. The reality is that we simply don't know what is going to happen to us when we die. A while back, I was asked to visit a woman who'd been raised to believe that these ideas and doctrines, dogmas, beliefs, and behaviors could save her from her fears and anxieties about her eventual demise. For the purposes of this sermon, I'm going to call this woman Grace, not because that's her real name, but because my encounters with her were so grace-filled that I know whenever I think of her, I shall always remember how full of grace this life of ours can be. I was summoned to speak to Grace because she'd attended a baptism here at Holy Cross, and based on what she heard that day, she believed that I would be a good person to help her to drive away her fear of dying. Grace was in her early 80s. She'd been raised in the Lutheran Church, baptized and confirmed a Lutheran. But it had been quite a few years since she'd attended church on a regular basis. Just the odd baptism, wedding, or funeral brought her to the church these days. But faced with her own mortality, Grace wanted to get a few things straightened out before she died. It was a long visit, a very long visit, most of the afternoon. And looking back on it now, I think it's what some people might call an exit interview. She must have sensed that she didn't have all the time in the world, and she wanted me to answer some important questions for her. Grace explained to me that even though it had been quite a while since she'd been to church, she still had very strong faith. It was important to her that I knew that she was a woman of faith, a good Lutheran woman of faith. She wanted to know what would happen to her when she died. Now, a lot of people think that pastors have some sort of inside track on this particular question, and I'm sure that there are some pastors who would have given Grace the answers that she was looking for. I must confess that I was tempted to just try to alleviate Grace's fears. I've been trained, and I know all the right words, and it would have been so easy to just talk about life after death as though I knew what lay ahead for Grace. But I resisted the temptation of the easy answers, and I opted to tell Grace the truth. I told her that I don't actually know what happens when someone dies. But based on my experiences in this life, I trust that God is good, that God is love, and that whatever happens when this life is over, it is enough for me to know that when I die, I shall die as I have lived, in the embrace of God, and that in God all will be well. Well, Grace paused for a moment, and then she smiled. And then she asked me what I thought well would look like. So I reminded Grace that Jesus often answered a question with another question, and I asked her what all things being well would look like to her. And that's when Grace painted me a picture of the dwelling place of her dreams. And when we'd finished talking about what it would be like to live in a place where all things are well, Grace asked me to pray for her and to pray for the people that she loves. At that point, I got a clear indication that there were a lot of people whom Grace loves. And when the prayers were over, I asked her if there was anything left undone. Was there anything left unsaid? And that's when she told me that on the whole, it had been a good life. Over the course of the next couple of hours, Grace told me her life story. She was quite a woman with a lot of stories to tell. And several times during the telling, she would lean over and she would say, "Now, Pastor, this story, it's a little risque. It might make you blush." Grace had loved, and she had been loved. And after she told me about the loves of her life, she went on to talk about how very important it is to love and to be loved. And then she got this worried look on my face, and she said, I know you're a pastor, but tell me, have you been loved? Do you love? Well, that's when I warned her that what I was about to tell her might actually make her blush. We laughed a lot that afternoon. Lots of laughter. Sure, Grace had some small regrets, but on the whole, she'd lived life to the fullest. She'd squeezed about as much out of life as she believed was possible, and she was grateful to God for all of it. She had lived and she had loved as fully as anyone could live and love. And it had been sweet and it had been good. And her one big regret was there was no one to dance with. That's when we put on Peggy Lee. And we danced to If That's All There Is. And then we danced to I Am Woman. W-O-M-A-N. I don't know about you, but living life to the fullest and squeezing as much out of life as you possibly can, that is life well lived. As for what lies beyond this life, I don't know any more than Grace knew. She died this week. I don't actually know where or what has become of the woman who lived fully and loved so extravagantly. Grace lived her life in the embrace of her Maker, and now I trust that she remains in the gentle embrace of our Maker, and I trust that in God all is well. I'm so very grateful for my journey into the wilderness with Grace. Jesus is reported to have said that he came that we might have life and live it abundantly. I have come to believe that death is one of the things that gives meaning to our life. If it were not for death, our lives would be infinitely less valuable. Death lies at the very heart of what it means to be human. For we alone among the creatures of creation are conscious of our own eventual demise. The knowledge that we shall die is what makes us human. The knowledge transforms us from mere dust into conscious beings. It is the knowledge that we will surely die that gives rise to hope in us. The knowledge that our time here is short drives us to fulfill our hopes and dreams for the life here. The knowledge that we will die can drive us to live more fully, to love more intensely. It can give rise to hopes and dreams for a life here that is fuller, lovelier, more intense, vivid, grace-filled, loving, alive to all that is possible here and now. While some placate their fears with hopes that point to everlasting life, those of us who embrace the reality that we shall die know that everlasting life would, for all intents and purposes, be everlasting punishment. Life without death is life without change. Eternity is not just more of the same. Eternity has no beginning and no end. Eternity is beyond time, beyond place. Here and now, when we live fully, we catch glimpses of the eternal. That afternoon spent with Grace was eternity, here and now. Here and now, when we live fully, we catch a glimpse of the eternal when time and space fall away and we are conscious that we live and move and have our being in, with, and through that which is beyond our ability to comprehend or to express, the eternal beyond that which we call love or God. When we embrace the limitations imposed upon us by death, we are compelled to live fully, love extravagantly, and be all that we can be. By embracing our mortality, we can become more fully human. And in being more fully human, we open ourselves to that which is eternal here and now. This week there's an article that's making the rounds on the internet that was written by a palliative care nurse who spent a great deal of time at the bedside of a good many people who are about to die. And over the years, this nurse has kept track of the regrets people have told her about. She's organized these regrets into a list of the top five regrets she has heard confessed on people's deathbeds. Number one, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Number two, I love this one. I have to learn to live this one. I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And number five, I wish I had let myself be happier. If the life and death of Jesus teaches us anything, let it be that he came that we might have life and live it abundantly, here and now. This journey in the wilderness has many temptations. Sometimes the fear of the unknown causes us to give in to those temptations, and so we deny our own unknowing, and we make choices that are based on our fears. I love it that over and over again, the words, "Do not be afraid," are recorded in the scriptures as having been said by the Spirit of God or by Jesus. Do not be afraid. We don't know what we don't know. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of death. Do not let our fear of death drive us into a denial of life. Let us live life fully, abundantly, loving and being loved, trusting that all will be well. I love the words of Teresa of Avila that Sharon read for us this morning. Just these two words God spoke changed my life. Enjoy me. What a burden I thought I was to carry, a crucifix, as Christ did. Love once said to me, "I know a song. Would you like to hear it?" And laughter came from every brick in the street and from every pore in the sky. After a night of prayer, God changed my life when God sang, "Enjoy me." Dancing with Grace was an eternal moment. There was no fear, no denial of death. We live in, with, and through God. We don't know what we don't know. We can but trust that God is love. Let us trust the one who raised us up from the dust to enfold us into eternity, trusting that in love all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well. Let us enjoy this life that has been given to us as pure gift. Let us live fully, love extravagantly, and be all that we can be. And let us dance. And let us laugh. And let us enjoy. Do not be afraid. All shall be well. Amen.